Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Welcome. You're listening to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk, a radio show with your host, Reverend Alethea Smith Withers, the pastor of the Pavilion of God in Washington, D.C. The Rev Up with Reverend Alethea show is a keeping it real show about life, and I seek to minister to the people of God through all phases of their experience, even up to the higher life of the spirit. This show is a safe place to talk about everything from pop culture to politics. So tonight we're going to be just enjoying ourselves on this New Year's Eve. And I want to thank you for listening and for sharing information about the show with your friends and for joining the dialogue in many different ways by calling in or posting comments on and questions on the Blog Talk chat line. And even this evening, I'm going to invite you to do that, and I will be happy to share your comments and questions with our guests. Our email or tweet me, those are wonderful ways to stay in touch. Your social circles are circles of life, circles of information, and circles of transformation, circles that help us all to move forward from survival to life to thriving. Tonight, my guest is Iris Estrada, and she's a dynamic young woman who will help us embrace Hispanic Christmas traditions and even some traditions for the new year. So set your intention for a growth experience tonight. Attune your heart and mind and be ready to rev up, accelerate, and energize your thinking. Hear now this word of prayer. Querido Dios, dear God, mi Dios, my God, I come tonight thanking you for a universal and almighty presence, a presence that transcends the barriers of geography, barriers of time, and barriers of space. I thank you for blessing us in and through our culture, the unique songs we sing, and even the special foods we eat. May we be reminded that we are one family called to serve and to live together in peace. As we prepare to enter 2014, unite us, O God, inspire us with your wisdom and protect us with your strength and your mercy and your love. Now enable us, God, to rev up, accelerate, and energize our thinking. This is my prayer. In the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. If you are just joining us, I am Reverend Alethea, host of the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show, and tonight is New Year's Eve. This holiday season is such a rich and complex one. We have Hanukkah, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Kwanzaa, and Three Kings Night. And on the last week of the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea show for 2013, the topic is Hispanic Christmas traditions. And I really wanted to talk about that tonight because the Hispanic traditions act as a bridge in many ways from the old year to the new year. So it is a wonderful thing to be talking about on this New Year's Eve. The other reason is that the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea show is a show about life, not just my life, but about the abundance of life. And I want to remind myself and to remind you to look at our neighbor next door and our neighbor in the neighborhood that is some distance from us and discover not just your neighbor, but discover yourself. So tonight, my guest is Iris Estrada, And I'd like to let you know a little bit about Iris. Iris is American by birth, Mexican by blood, and curious by nature. She is a bilingual freelance writer who grew up in Arizona, Mexico, up on the Arizona-Mexico border, and spent her teen years in the Dominican Republic. She moved to Canada to pursue her university degree in journalism and international development studies, and is currently residing in Florida. As a proud Latina, Iris is passionate about covering stories that applaud diversity and center on issues affecting visible minorities. She's an advocate for immigration rights, a food truck lover, well, Iris, we have something in common there, and a self-proclaimed professional people watcher. We have something else in common. Iris, bienvenido al programa Rev Up with Reverend Alethea. Welcome to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I hope my Spanish wasn't too bad. What did you think?
Oh, no, it was perfect. It's more than I've been able to teach my English-speaking boyfriend.
Okay. That's a good sign. I know a little Spanish. I lived in Guatemala for a couple of months when I was a kid. And so the Spanish I know is Spanish that a 16-year-old would speak, which is not doesn't cover all the topics that I want to talk about today, but it's a good motivation for me to this at the end of this year to do more work with my Spanish. Before we start to talk about the Christmas traditions in Hispanic and Latina Christmas traditions, tell me a little bit about you that I didn't cover in the introduction. Is there something that you want to share that you're doing now or anything else that you wanted to say a word about?
About myself or about the,
mm-hmm.
the traditions?
About yourself.
Really... Oh, well, no, you pretty much covered everything that people need to know. I'm on Twitter. You can follow me at Iris_Estrada to see what I'm up to and what I'm writing about. But like you said, I basically am a freelance writer, and I'm very passionate about covering stories that have to do with the Hispanic community here in the States and abroad. And that's what I'm dedicating my life to, hopefully. I'm a recent graduate. Yeah, I'm a recent graduate. I've been done school for over a year now, and I'm doing what all journalists are doing and just trying to educate the masses one little article at a time.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's how it all starts, with one little article at a time. And I've read an article that Iris has written, and I want you to know when you see her name, read it, enjoy it, and share it with others. Iris, help me understand or help our audience understand a little bit about when we say Hispanic versus Latino, is there a way that we use it? I think of Latino referring to geography and Hispanic referring to language. Is that a good way of looking at it?
Well, if you go into the discourse among the Latino community, it's really more of a preference. Hispanic, a lot of people don't like to adopt that term because it wasn't a term that we gave ourselves. It was a term given to people from South America and the Caribbean and, you know, Mexico who were in the United States. So a lot of people don't feel a connection to that term. I personally don't mind Hispanic or Latino because in this day and age, I think it's kind of hard to group everyone from Latin America, you know, in one way without being very specific, so I feel Hispanic is fine. But yeah, like I said, it's all about preference. Personally, I like to call myself a Chicana because I'm Mexican by blood. My parents were born in Mexico, but I was raised here, and traditionally the term Chicano or Chicana refers to a Mexican-American person. So I'm sorry if I rambled on a little bit. But
No, I think that's really helpful.
Long story short, it's honestly a preference thing, and if you have a friend who is Latino and Hispanic, or, well, same thing, but if you have a friend and you want to know what they prefer to be called, I would honestly say just ask them. I think a lot of people sometimes get too caught up with certain terms and, you know, what they may mean or, you know, if it may cause offense or something. Honestly, the best thing is to just ask.
Right. We self describe ourselves, and that's important for people to be able to ask someone, what term do you prefer? How do you refer to yourself? How do you self-identify? In some respects, from what I'm hearing you say, Latino and Hispanic often are used interchangeably, but the best and the most important thing to do is the person with whom you're speaking, if you want to know, is simply ask or know and not feel badly if they say, I prefer to call myself Hispanic or I prefer to call myself Latino.
Yeah.
So they will let you know.
Yeah, and one easy, at least one easy trick that I tell my friends is if someone's from Spain, you can refer to them as Hispanic, but if they're from Spain, they might not necessarily, adopt the term Latino because that is a term that's generally reserved for people of Latin American origin,
mm-hmm.
whereas Hispanic is well denoted to people from the Iberian Peninsula. So,
okay,
yeah.
Well that's really helpful. It's important for us to begin to know that we can talk about ourselves, and the most important thing is to invite people to speak for themselves. This is such an exciting time for, I feel like a little kid all during December. As soon as December 1 hits, I start getting excited at Thanksgiving, and then December 1, yeah, you're like me, I get so excited because it's such a time of festivities, and you know we have become a culture of consumerism. But if you look beyond the shopping, there's such wonderful, magnificent cultural experiences, and I mean culture and religious experiences through the month of December. Hanukkah this year was at Thanksgiving. And moved right into December. So we had this wonderful arc of celebration. And then Christmas, and then Kwanzaa, and then New Year. I don't know how much more we could have if we went on. Much more we'd be.
Well,
exhausted.
If you're Latino, you have your King's Day.
Yes, that's so exciting. That's why I really want to talk about the Hispanic and Latino traditions tonight, because this is the time when we're seeing that arc of celebration going right into the new year. But share with the audience from your experience a little bit about what Christmas Eve looks like. Noche Buena. What does Christmas Eve look like? And from your experience, in the Latino community, what does that look like?
Well, for those who are listening in and aren't really familiar with Latino Christmases, one of the biggest differences is that Latino households don't tend to celebrate Christmas on Christmas Day. We tend to get together on Christmas Eve, or like you said, Noche Buena. From my personal experience, I loved Christmas time because as a Chicana, as a Mexican-American, sometimes I felt like I didn't have that connection to my roots the way I would want or desired. And every December, my family would fly down to Central Mexico, where my dad's from, and we would get together with family, and I would just get my fill of Mexican traditions for the year, basically. Noche Buena in my family usually consisted of everyone gathering at my grandmother's house, and that includes all 10 of her kids and their families, and, we get the whole family together, and anyone who's from a Hispanic family, I don't want to, perpetrate a stereotype, but a lot of us do have big families, and my family in particular, like I said, my grandmother had 10 kids, all of them got married, they have their kids, some of their kids have kids, so we'd have occasions where there'd be up to 40, 50, 60 people, just family and friends, and we take out the kitchen table. Well, we take out 3 kitchen tables outside, and we'd have this giant feast. And yeah, it was a very, very nice time. In my family in particular, and I noticed that in other Mexican families from the region that my father's from, which is Morelos, we wait till midnight. So we actually wait mm-hmm. till technically Christmas to have our big family feast. And before
wow.
the feast, yeah, before the feast, what you can typically see is kids running around, playing with sparklers. You have, in my family, a lot of the women are in the kitchen cooking, getting the feast ready. The men are outside building a fire for us to sit around because it's getting cold. It's just, I personally love Christmas. I associate it with family and friends and music and food. And I think that no matter where you're from in Latin America, be it Mexico or somewhere in the Caribbean or South America, if there's one thing we can all probably agree on, is that the holidays is food, festive music, and family.
Yes. Oh, boy, it sounds so wonderful. As you were talking, it was so funny. I had this memory that I hadn't thought of in a long time, and it has nothing to do with Christmas, but when I got married, I went, our honeymoon was to Mexico.
Oh, okay.
And I hadn't thought about that in a long time, and just the some of the families that we visited were, as you said, that real wonderful, rich family experience, which is just so wonderful. So the talk about a little bit about the foods. I know something about Mexican food, but just share some of your favorite foods. For the, are there different foods on like Christmas Eve, or are there foods more typical, just more of it, or do you have like special things that you have?
Where Mexicans, I can't speak for all Mexicans, but one big staple during Christmas is tamales. Tamal is, if you're not familiar with it, you should go befriend a Mexican right now.
Yes,
and try
I'm
some.
A tamales, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a tamal is basically seasoned meat that's wrapped in cornmeal dough and then steamed in corn husks. And this food is also seen throughout various parts of Latin America, but with variations and different names, but they're also served during the holiday season. For example, in the Caribbean and Central America, they tend to be wrapped in plantain leaves instead of corn husks,
mm-hmm.
and are known by other names like ayacas, bollos, or like in the Dominican Republic, pastel en hoja. And I don't know if I mentioned this already, but I live in the Dominican Republic. I was fortunate enough to live on that beautiful island for 8 years. And one of the things that really struck me my first Christmas there, my first Christmas, you know, away from my Mexican family, was the fact that even though at this point I was 11 years old, I didn't have any family in the Dominican Republic. I was very ignorant to Dominican traditions. I even remember my parents having to like show me on the globe when they were telling me where I was going to move to. But I'm sorry to ramble, but one of the things that really struck me was going to friends of the family and then seeing the kitchen table and seeing what I recognize as a tamal. It was very, it's a very special feeling, I guess you could say, when you feel a connection with another culture through something as simple as food. Even though tamales and pasteles en hojas are very different, the fact that they're still kind of the same concept of seasoned meat, you know, wrapped in this dough and then steamed and, you know, eaten during the holidays, for me in particular, it really warmed my heart. And I think that's one of the major things about Hispanic communities, that even though we might not all have the same traditions, we still all, I think, have a strong sense of family and friends and gathering more than anything. Like all cultures, I feel, you know, the holiday times is time for gathering with those you love and sharing things you love, like good food and good music.
And I think sometimes when we share a time with someone whose cultural experience is different, we begin to see not only the difference, but as amazingly as you're saying, we see the similarity. You know, suddenly we realize, oh, we all kind of sing and have fun and laugh, and there's lots of silliness and all kinds of special things, and food is an anchor for most cultures, I think all cultures that I know, and families. So, you know, your neighbor who might be the very, very same culture might do their food just a little differently, but you know, because people always have a little competition. Someone's tamales or will be better than someone else's, but it's still the same, and it's that connecting piece for you. Is there a can you talk a little bit? I don't know what your religious affiliation is, but I would assume, wonder whether it. Well, not necessarily. Is it Catholicism a primary religious experience for you? Was that?
I'm
your family or?
My family, a large part of my family is Catholic. And then a lot of another part of my family, including myself, were raised evangelical. But one of the traditions that I did partake in during Christmas, even though I wasn't Catholic, it's a tradition that a lot of Protestant Christians in Mexico also celebrate, despite it being a Catholic tradition. It's called posadas. Posadas means in Spanish. And when people celebrate the posada, they're meant to simulate Mary and Joseph's pilgrimage looking for shelter. So the nights leading up to Christmas Eve, a lot of people, what they'll do is they will pick a house, which will be like the not the gathering point, but the end point, I guess you could say. People walk around the neighborhood with candles, singing songs, which would, you know, be traditional Christian or Christmas songs. And they pretty much just go all throughout their neighborhood. You hear them coming, you hear the song, and you know that that's your cue to go down, you know, grab a candle and join the progression to the host's house. When you finally reach the house, you know, kids are usually met with a piñata to break, and adults partake in conversation, and they share warm food and warm drinks, and it's just another way of gathering, you know. Whereas Christmas Eve, people tend to go with their families, the posadas gives communities an opportunity to get together, you know, with their neighbors. And with me, for example, like I said, I visited Mexico every year. I didn't live there. And yet, every year when I go to these posadas, I see different faces, but the, I guess you could say the welcome was just as strong, the welcome was just as warm as it were, as it was like people who were from the community. So that's one big tradition that I really
phenomenal.
Appreciated.
Yeah, that is such, I mean, I got chills as you were talking about it. It's such a spirit of community and a sharing of a recognition of the biblical story in kind of in the context of the people's lives. So it's it's beautiful that it's the simulation of Mary and Joseph's you know, seek pilgrimage and looking for shelter to really be, and how wonderful, I mean, what the love, the powerful story of looking for shelter and then finding it in that way in
exactly.
A designated place. Yeah, I love that. I think it's, that's such a rich story. So, in do you know? I it's now that you're saying this, there is a a church that has a pretty large Latino population, and I remember there was a procession before Christmas. As I'm wondering whether that was, is that something that is simulated in some way here in the States?
Yeah, I was going to say, if you go to communities where there is a big Hispanic population, for example, I know family members of mine out in California and their neighborhoods do their own version of the posadas, which is basically, you know, the same thing. They walk along with their candles and they sing, in their case, they sing Christmas carols because they live in the States and they've become a little bit, you know, more Americanized, and, well, why not? Why not sing Christmas carols and give other people a chance to join in the fun?
Wow,
one point
a powerful
that I wanted
tradition.
To make, I enjoy it, and like I said, I'm not Catholic, and the tradition does have its origins in Catholicism, yet it's great to see that a lot of people, regardless of whether you're religious or not, can partake in something like this that really does build a sense of community. I mentioned before, too, that in the posadas, when you get there, kids tend to break piñatas. And I know a lot of people in the United States, when you say a piñata, you have this image of, you know, maybe a cartoon character or a donkey or some other animal. But traditional piñatas, which are the ones that are usually seen during Christmas time, actually are made out of a clay pot, which is covered in decorative paper, and they also have seven cones sticking out of it. And the seven cones, traditionally, it has a very rich history, but to sum it all down for you, the points represent the seven deadly sins, and the bright colors of the piñata were meant to symbolize temptation. So when the kids and the people are blindfolded, it represents faith. And then when you hit the piñata and all the goodies come out, that's supposed to represent all the blessings that you're receiving.
Oh, no, I love that.
Yeah.
That is so wonderful.
Yeah, so you're pretty much, you know, hitting temptation and saying no and getting the blessings because of it. And that's what it represents. Yep.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, are those who are Protestant or Evangelica, and the Evangelicals, do they also participate in the Posadas?
I think it depends on your own personal preference. A lot of Protestants do. I don't know anyone personally who's Evangelical who carries on the tradition, but like I said, I was raised Evangelical, and yet I still participated in these. They don't have a religious like ceremony afterwards. So people who might not, you know, care for the religious undertones of it can still enjoy it, because at the end of the day, it's just walking and singing and going to meet, you know, your community at this house, ready with food and music and just ready for you guys to have a fun time.
That's wonderful. So that's Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day is food, or just what's Christmas Day like? Food and family.
Yeah, I'm sorry I'm not really touching on, I just want to say to the viewers, I'm not really touching on a lot of Hispanic traditions as much as I am touching on Mexican traditions, because that's my own background. In Christmas Day, I did notice this in the Dominican, and I have, you know, noticed that a lot of my Hispanic friends who aren't Mexican or Dominican, what they do is that most of us tend to gather at the house, you know, where dinner was served the night before, and everyone comes back. If you didn't stay the night there to begin with, like in my family, because we all would just throw blankets down and spend the night there, but you tend to go to your host's home, and it's leftovers. Everyone heats up the leftovers for breakfast, and the celebration continues, you know? It's a lot more quiet, I would say, whereas Christmas Eve is really loud and, you know, just spirited. I feel like Christmas Day is when everyone kind of comes down from the excitement, and, you know, you have more of those heart-to-heart conversations with family members you haven't seen in a long time, and you're making me miss Christmas with my family next
year. Oh, I'm here. You know, and I feel like I'm there, because I think that's what you're sharing, Iris. Thank you so much. It's so important for us to hear what you're saying in all of our lives. There are traditions that are really steeped in culture, and then there are all these things that condense to our family experience. So if you say you're American, being an American means you'll have some similarities, but you can only speak for your family and perhaps talk about your neighborhood and your experience, but we all understand to some degree what's happening around us. So you're sharing from this unique, powerful experience as a Chicana, as a from the Mexican context, and also a broader context from your experience as a young teenager in Dominican Republic. So that's at least helping us know that there are so many ways to celebrate Christmas and the foods. This is, you know, the limitation the audience knows in this moment. The limitations, of course, is the fact that we can't see the foods. But tamales, if you don't know that, that's a great thing to look up. Now we can check on the internet and find recipes for tamales.
Yeah.
Rice and black beans, I think, would be what, moro?
Oh, yeah, especially, yeah, moro de guandules, moro de habichuelas, something that I saw a lot in the Dominican Republic. For example, where Americans tend to eat turkey during Christmas, Mexicans, we cover our turkey in this savory sauce made out of chocolate. So we don't have the traditional turkey like Americans might envision, but we do eat turkey as well. In the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico and a lot of Caribbean countries, instead of turkey, what you tend to see is lechon, which is it's a pig. It's a roasted pig. So, you know, they're usually roasted whole. It's the whole image that you have in your head of, you know, some people find it a little intimidating to eat it because the pig's face is still on there, but if you're okay with meat, trust me, it's delicious. Americans obviously are familiar with eggnog, and in Puerto Rico you have a similar drink called coquito, which is also made with milk and eggs, but it has coconut added to it. In Mexico, we have something similar to eggnog called rompope, and that's flavored with eggs and milk, of course, but it also has the additives of vanilla and a little bit of cinnamon. And, yeah, there's Venezuela has poncho crema, Costa Rica and El Salvador have cola de mono, and it's basically just this variation of eggnog, but everyone has, you know, their own special spin on it. My personal favorite isn't even the Mexican one. It's the Puerto Rican coquito. It's delicious.
Well, it's always so much fun to have, and I'm being introduced to, I have friends from various places, and I'm always being introduced to new foods. I love the different foods, now the new thing that I'm getting into is soups, the different type of sopas. It's such a rich cultural experience, and the herbs and just the fragrances, it's just so wonderful.
Well, if you're Mexican, it's not strange for you to see a stew called menudo on your Christmas menu, or pozole. They're made of hominy. If you don't know, I'm not sure how many people are familiar with hominy. So if you don't know what it is, it's like a big I don't even know how to describe it. It's corn. It's basically, But menudo has hominy, and then it'll have tripe. Some of it has tripe. Pozole tends to have beef, and it's kind of hard to explain it without you seeing an image in front of your face. But to all the viewers, I recommend you Google pozole and menudo, and then if you don't have a computer in front of you, just imagine this super warm, rich broth, and it's seasoned with oregano and chili peppers and lime, and it's like you said,
and
it is also, it's a very...
When you smell it, it just makes your mouth water. You're talking about it now, and it's making my mouth water.
It's very typical to find menudo during Christmas time, but referring to what you asked before about Christmas Day and Christmas Eve, menudo tends to be reserved for Christmas Day. You know, it's...
Okay.
It's the for those who drink during the holidays, you know, it tends to be seen as the cure-all for partying a little too hard, and then everybody else, you know, you have the leftovers, but menudo is kind of what brings it all together. You get the tamales and you eat them with the menudo. You get the leftover tortillas and eat it with the menudo, and it's just, in my family in particular, I have a great memory of my grandfather from my mom's side cooking a big batch of menudo outside because this thing was so huge it wouldn't even fit on the stove.
So he would cook
this big batch of menudo outside, and then as soon as you, like, pretty much entered the driveway of their home, you'd be struck with this smell that, you know, just screamed Christmas time. And I feel like everyone probably has a smell of the holidays that triggered that memory. Mm-hmm. And in my case, it's menudo.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's so wonderful. I find this so exciting and to hear about that, and I'm hoping that the audience is helping them. You know, what happens as you talk, even if that's not your particular experience, what you start to do is search your memory for the things that really are comforting and embracing for you. All of us have that food, that aroma, the sound of laughter, an uncle, a cousin, someone who does certain things and certain things that have been a part of your tradition and often your family tradition that have helped ground you and embrace you through this very rich season. Now, share a little bit, and this is the powerful thing, is we're on New Year's Eve, and we're many of us have already put Christmas behind us and Kwanzaa behind us. Kwanzaa, one more day for Kwanzaa would be the first day of January. So there, that kind of bridges the 2 years. But for the Latina and a Hispanic community, it's bridged in a different way. Can you talk a little bit about what happens in the new year?
In the new year. Oh, okay. In the new year, it's also a big family event. Families tend to get together. In my particular family, we used to sit around the kitchen table and play lotería, which is, the best way for me to describe it is a Mexican bingo. And
yes,
that's something that I've also noticed a lot of other Mexican families do on New Year's Eve. If they're not playing that, they usually have some other, I guess you could say, board game that
mm-hmm.
young people and, you know, the elders can all kind of, you know, play. So it's, whereas I find that Christmas Eve, you kind of see the separation of the women, you know, cooking and gathering and the men outside and the kids running around. I find that New Year's, at least, you know, leading up to midnight, it's a lot more, in my family at least, it's a lot more, how would I say, everyone's more together. So, like, the kids interact
mm-hmm.
with the adults more and the adults interact with, you know, the kids more. One big tradition that Mexicans have, and I've noticed other Latino families have, is that at the strike of midnight, we eat 12 grapes. And each grape
oh my,
is supposed to
I never
represent,
knew that.
Yeah, when you eat each grape, you're supposed to make a wish. And each grape and each wish represents something for, you know, one of the months of the year. And it's said that if one of the grapes you eat is sweet, it's for coming up good things in that month, whereas if you eat a sour grape, it means your month isn't going to be as good as you hope.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, that's one big tradition, I guess, that I've noticed is popular among a lot of Latino families.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun. Now, Dia de Reyes.
Mm-hmm.
And that, that's a bridge that takes us all the way to January 6th. But go ahead, however you want to get there.
Yeah. Oh, well, I was just going to mention one more tradition. I don't know why it skipped my mind because it's a pretty funny one. On New Year's Eve, women who are set to, you know, want to find love and passion in the next new year, wear red underwear. It's
oh wow!
You know, it's just what's the word I'm looking for? Just a silly little tradition, but you know, if you
mm-hmm.
want love, you wear red underwear. If you want health and well-being, you wear yellow. Green underwear is for friendship, if I'm not mistaken. There's different colors mean different things. My family in particular never really, you know, went into it, but I do remember one particular aunt mentioning red underwear once, and that's when I learned about the tradition. So,
well, maybe this host might wear red, yellow, and green, so I might have three pair of underwear on this evening. I think that's kind of cool. That's fun. And it's fun to hear, and it's, you mentioned it the way so many of us hear about our traditions is one family member might say something, and it might not be an aspect that you really know of, but you can remember hearing your aunt say something or your uncle say something. And that's how I've learned about a lot of things in my Caribbean family, that since I didn't grow up in Jamaica, there are some things I miss, but I remember hearing, you know, my aunt say something or my father say something, and then come to understand the full meaning of the tradition as I've matured. But it's always fun because you hear these things, and, you know, because that's something they knew more the details of than some of my generation will know. So it's really fun to hear the stories or the practices and fun parts of our cultural experience. That's fun. But I love the grapes, so I think I might eat a grape.
Just go
12
for the
grapes.
Seedless. Don't make the mistake I did 1 year and buy non-seedless grapes. I mean, yeah. Go for the seedless.
Seedless ones, absolutely. So each month will be at least one, but it doesn't have something that's too hard to crunch on. So, and they're hopefully all sweet grapes. That would be the hope for that. And so for you, it continues from New Year's Eve through January 6th. You want to talk about
great.
January 6th?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, on January 6th, a lot of Mexican families partake in Three Kings Day, or Día de Reyes. What Three Kings Day represents is, well, the three kings that went to, you know, visit baby Jesus, brought him gifts, and whereas Americans have the tradition of Santa Claus, you know, being the guy who brings you all the presents. Traditionally, Mexican families would give out presents on Three Kings Day. And, you know, whereas kids in the States might put out milk and cookies for Santa Claus, kids in Mexico would put out hay for the Three Kings camels that they're riding on.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So on, like you said, on January 6th, families get together, and one tradition that they tend to do, besides the exchange of gifts, is that they eat a wreath-shaped trofa de reyes, and it's a sweet bread, and the catch to it is that, you know, each person gets a slice, but there's a little hidden plastic figurine in the rosca. It's a little baby Jesus, what everyone refers to it to represent, you know, Jesus as a child. And whoever gets the baby Jesus is pretty much, well, they pretty much have to throw a big tamales party on February 2nd. So it's fun to eat, but no one really wants to get the plastic. The plastic.
I know, that means you've got to do a little work. That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, so February 2nd, when the person, you know, who found the figurine, they tend to provide tamales and people get together, and you know, we continue on the celebration for another month, I guess you could say, in that sense.
Oh, that is so wonderful. I did not know that part. I have friends who are actually African-American family, and they open their presents on January 6th. Not so much a focus of being a Hispanic tradition, but simply really tying to the religious tradition of when the three kings brought the gifts to Jesus. So they never open presents on Christmas. They wait to open them on January 6th. So there's so many reasons. I love it because it tells the story, the biblical story, or reenacts the biblical story. But I also like it because it is a bridge in a sense of the celebration going from 1 year into the next. And so many people have holiday blues, and it's somehow in a place of feeling or questioning themselves very deeply about how much they've accomplished in the old year, but it's somehow when you move into the new year and you're greeted with this gift-giving time, this time of continued celebration, it really can lift the spirits tremendously. And it's a very rich experience. So by the time Latino and Hispanic children are back in school in the U.S., they still have gifts coming.
Yeah. Yeah, I was always, I used to partake on Three Kings Day, the tradition of the rosca with my family, but I got my presents on Christmas, and I used to always be a little jealous of the kids who still got, you know, presents on January 6th, but yeah, it just goes to show, you know, traditions are different, and also goes to show, like I'm, like I said, I'm not Catholic, but I still partake in Three Kings Day, even though it is traditionally a Catholic holiday, but a lot of Protestant Mexicans and evangelical Mexicans also partake in it. And, well, like you mentioned, I personally love the holidays because I feel that no matter what your religious background or your cultural background, you know, putting aside the commercialism of Christmas and the other holidays, putting aside, you know, the decorations being up maybe a little too soon, you know, around October, I love the spirit of community that grows during this month. When I lived in the Dominican Republic, my first two Christmases were spent away from my family. And like I mentioned, we went to friends of the family's home, and they all, you know, treated us like we were just another one of the family members. And I find, you know, that similar things would happen when I'd celebrate with my family. I'd always see, you know, certain faces that I didn't know, and people would mention, oh, it's my friend, or I brought so-and-so over, my coworker. And I feel that, you know, most households have this willingness to accept, you know, new friends and sometimes even strangers into their home on the holidays, and that's what I particularly love about it.
Absolutely. This is just so rich. I just realized there's something I don't know. So and I didn't ask. Is it typical in Mexico to have Christmas trees?
You know, it's become more typical now. I would also say, you know, so the more we intermix with each other's cultures, the more we adopt cultures from other places, and it's not uncommon to see Santa Claus in Mexico anymore, and it's not uncommon to see Christmas trees either. In the Dominican, people put up Christmas trees, and let me tell you, I have never seen Christmas trees as beautiful as the ones I've seen in the Dominican Republic.
I would
people
imagine.
People go all out with their decorations. It's beautiful. And where you have, somehow they manage to sell fresh trees, but then they also have, I don't know where they get them from, you know, where they ship them down from. They have those. But then also, if you've ever been to Santo Domingo, the capital of the Dominican, around Christmas time, you'll notice if you're driving down the street, you'll see these Christmas trees made of, like, twigs. I guess you could say they're, like, painted white twigs. And they're sold. Like, they're usually right along the road, and there's a lot of merchants selling these. And I remember my first Christmas, my mom decided she was going to have a very, quote-unquote, typical Dominican Christmas tree, and bought one of these trees and put it up in the house, and then only to find out later by a friend that those trees are more used for business purposes. So businesses tend to use them to decorate their outsides, but you know, some people also put them in their homes. But yeah, it's funny that you asked that, because I thought it was quite funny. I don't know why it never like occurred to me that, you know, you would obviously have Christmas trees in the Caribbean, even if it is warm, but yeah.
So the typical decoration in a Mexican home at Christmas time would not. What might it include? Are there special ways that you decorate your home?
Because I was raised on the border, I think my family adopted a lot of the American decorative traditions. Piñatas would be, I guess, the biggest national symbol in my home during the holidays. There's always like a piñata in my home during Christmas. When I go to my family over in Mexico and I spend Christmas with them, we'd always have three piñatas. We have one for the young children, so, you know, picture anywhere from the age 2 to 10. Then we have another piñata for all the teenagers and people who aren't married yet. And then we have a last piñata, which would be all my uncles and aunts. And then finally, at the end, my grandmother, you know, being the head of the household, would take the last hit.
Oh, that's so, you know, so rich and so fun, and so replete with tradition and stories. I just think this is absolutely wonderful. I'm so excited.
Okay.
We're at the end. Any special?
Okay.
Any special word that you'd like to offer to our listening audience this evening? Any special wish for others, or anything you'd like to share in any special way?
Well, you know, being someone who has spent the holidays away from home, I would just say, if you know anyone who doesn't have family nearby, maybe you in town, you know, even if maybe you don't know them that well, Christmas time, the holidays, is definitely the time to reach out a hand and, you know, invite that coworker who doesn't have anyone over for dinner, invite your neighbor over for New Year's Eve. I just feel people maybe underestimate, because everyone's so caught up in their own happiness, which, you know, it's a happy time, it's the holidays, but there's still some people, you know, who are sad because they're missing home, they're missing their own traditions, and I think it's always lovely to, you know, invite them into your own home, show them a little bit of your tradition, and have them feel like family for a night.
You know, you could not have said anything better, Iris. Thank you so much. What a wonderful, wonderful invitation you're offering of the audience, that you're reminding me, reminding all of us about how to extend ourselves and embrace others. Iris Estrada, muchas gracias. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Gracias.
I want to continue a multicultural dialogue in a sundry ways in 2014, and I'd like to invite you back in some way just to join maybe a couple of other people as we talk about immigration rights.
I'd love to come back.
Wonderful. I have a particular commitment to talk about immigration rights and to broaden the dialogue, broaden our understanding, and help live out our connections with one another. And so I'm hoping to continue this dialogue. Feliz Año Nuevo. Gracias. To all of my listeners and to my new friends, Feliz Año Nuevo. Happy New Year. 2013 has been a blessing from where I sit. After breast cancer, every day, every week, every month, and every year is an enormous blessing. The Rev Up with Reverend Alethea show is a tribute to God's grace, the love and support of family and friends, and the courage and vision God has given me. I am so thankful for everyone I've had an opportunity to interview. I'm remembering tonight Reverend Knighton Stanley, who was my first interview in July. He was so supportive of me and this new venture. He was in hospice care at the time that I interviewed him, and he has since made his transition. I am thankful for my listeners who listen and make this medium an instrument of real and sometimes mystical dialogue. I'm excited about 2014. I'm inviting you to keep listening. We'll be tackling important topics. You're hearing immigration concerns among them, and we'll be hearing from people in the know and people who are creating the things that we all need to know about. My hope is that you will remember that dialogue is a device for breaking barriers and for building bridges. I want to listen to you. Keep letting me know what you want to talk about and who you want to hear from. Email me with your ideas and thoughts to revalethea@gmail.com, revalethea@gmail.com, or tweet me at revalethea. My next show will be January 7th, 2014. We'll be talking about the Daniel Fast. And we'll begin on January 5th. So listen in and find out about what we're doing with the Daniel Fast. Keep checking out information that's posted on the Pavilion of God Facebook page, which will enable you to start the fast with us on January 5th, or join us on January 7th. We'll be fasting throughout the throughout January. If you want more information about the Daniel Fest, go to www.facebook.com/Pavilion of God. The Daniel Fast is an eating plan. It's a wonderful way to glorify God in the way you eat, move, and think, and to discover your season of harvest. I invite you to worship with the Pavilion of God. The Pavilion of God is a safe place, and it is sacred space where you can come as you are. Call our prayer line on Wednesday, 6 a.m. and 12 noon, 605-475-4333, 605-475-4333, and pray with us. The access code is 213-781, 213-781. Stay in touch. Tweet me at Rev Alethea, email me at revalethea@gmail.com, like the Pavilion of God on Facebook, and until January 7th, 2014, Happy New Year. Rev up, accelerate, and energize your life. Rev up, accelerate, and energize your life.